Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Cool down out there. Whatever you're doing, it's starting to heat up finally. I was complaining about it being 50 degrees now. It's finally heating up. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is heating up. We're going to be at Reeder's. First time ever at Reisterstown at this location. We used to be at Bateman's a million years ago, and the lights went off, and Samari Roll was there. That's what happens when you get to be old. But when you get to be old, you get to give away the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I gave these away last week at the Y in Randallstown. I had some great conversations there as well. We're out on the road, man. We're going to be at Costas and Timonium soon. We're going to be out in Eldersburg at 1623 Brewing. We're going to be at Zeke's Coffee on a Friday morning with Rasig and his Coffee Mafia. We're also going to be doing Di Pasquale's in middle of July as well, talking about sausages, one of my favorite things, and Italian food and pastries and all sorts of good things down in Canton. We're going to talk some Oriole baseball here this weekend. I sort of lost my mind earlier this week. I stand behind every fact that I displayed, as well as accusations and feelings and all of that. I wish we were going to Yankee Stadium this weekend. It's actually lovely in New York this week. I was there last week. The first place New York Yankees somewhat scuffling. The Mets, who've sort of the toast of the town as well. And the Orioles arriving as a last-place team. Hey, split in Tampa. Got a big hit from Colton Cowser ever since I sort of mysteriously wanted to put him in a trade. He's hitting the ball this week. Great. Charlie Morton, good start. Batista in the bullpen. O'Hearn got a hit. Like, you know, when they win, we can sit here and say good things, but they're still 10 games under 500.
Yeah, and that's where it's frustrating what happened Wednesday night, because you had an opportunity, a real opportunity. And this isn't just pie in the sky. They should have taken 3 out of 4 from the Rays. And if you take 3 out of 4 from the Rays, then you're looking at this weekend and saying, hey, take 2 out of 3, which is should be the goal anytime you play a series to win a series. And you're talking about a 5-2 road trip then. Now, you still have an opportunity to go into the Bronx this weekend. The Yankees just snapped their 6-game losing streak. Their offense has really been scuffling. It's been very good overall, but of late, it's scuffled. So, you know, you have an opportunity to go into New York and play good baseball, right? And at this point, you're just trying to chip away, chip away, chip away. You know, we talked about it when they were 18 games under 500 and the season feels completely shot. Well, you get back to 10 games under 500, which is kind of been the new threshold they're trying to get past.
By the way, it means you played 8 over. So like that's sure. A good, you know, play 8 over again over a month or two, right? I mean, that's how this happens.
I mean, that's how you have to do it, right? I mean, as much as you'd love to win 10 in a row or to win 15 in a row or to win 19 of 20, that generally doesn't happen in baseball often. So it is this mindset of trying to chip away. But on the flip side, that's also why Wednesday was so frustrating, because you don't have the margin for error to drop games that you have no business dropping, right? They need to be winning games that they had no business winning. They need to be the team that's coming back from an 8-0 deficit and winning, not having.
Well, that's
that
how you win 101 games. We all saw that 2 years ago.
No question. But I will say this, as awful as Wednesday night was, I mean, worst loss of the season. You talked about, you know, your rant. Everyone was saying how bad the loss was. I give them credit for coming back and getting the start they got from Charlie Morton and playing a cleaner brand of baseball. And, you know, Colton Cowser hits the big 3-run home run. How many times did we see this team the first 2 months of the season where you'd have a bad loss, like the Easter game, for example, and things just snowballed after that and things would get worse and you'd lose 5 of your next 6 or you know, 8 in a row, like they lost at one point. I mean, so it was good to see that at least. I was very curious to see how they were going to respond on Thursday night, and they responded in a way that you'd like. Now, that said, it's a split. The Rays have played very well. There's nothing to be ashamed about with the overall result of a split, but we've also talked about it. When you're 10 games under 500, you've got to find ways to make hay, right? You've got to find ways to make up ground, even against the best teams and even against the best teams in your division, because those are the ones that mean the most, right? I mean, that's not just making yourself better, but you're bringing other division rivals closer to you in the process. So still a long way to go. Not going to be easy this weekend whatsoever. I mean, they're going to see Max Fried Friday night. Clark Schmidt's had a good year on Saturday. You know, Warren, that's a little bit of a different story, but you know, for the Orioles, you've got Sagano, who's been their ace. Eflin, who was supposed to be their ace, has looked good at times and hasn't looked so good other times. You know, I mean, he has an ERA of 4.8 right now. He goes Saturday and then Kramer on Sunday. So you've got to find a way to win 2 out of 3. But the big key, I think, is, you know, don't let the Yankees just get back on track here. I mean, they had lost 6 in a row and things had looked so ugly and there was a little bit of panic there. I mean, you know, they're 12 games over 500. That's, hey, the Orioles would love to be in that spot. We all know that, but it's not as though they're completely running away with this thing. They've been vulnerable. You know, they haven't looked dominant to the point where, you know, I think the rest of this division, with the Rays kind of taking the lead at the moment, are looking at this thing and saying, hey, can we make a run? Can we make a run? You know, the Orioles aren't in that space, right? I mean, the Orioles, you know, even if you're trying to be somewhat realistic, you know, maybe have a chance to get back into it from a wild card perspective, but to do that, you've got to beat your division rivals. You've got to beat teams in your division, and we'll see if the Orioles can win 2 out of 3 and have a winning road trip and come home and keep chipping away, chipping away.
You know, I was in New York last week. I told my wife one of my regrets was I didn't get on the train and go get my favorite Indian food up on 109th and go to 161, because I'm figuring like Stan's and all of those places will have Nasty Nestor shirts at a deep, deep discount at this point. So I'm trying to pick some of that stuff up. But for the Orioles going from this little tiny minor league ballpark up the Yankee Stadium, just sort of the juxtaposition, even the lighting on television of a minor league park the last couple of days, and sort of this spring training feel. The split part of it and blowing the 8-0 lead the other night, there is a point where like you feel like the car might be able to go fast, right? You know what I mean? Like when they're winning 8-0 the third inning and things are going right and the offense is going right and all these young guys get a hit and you're making another pitcher reel and you're on the road and there's fun in the dugout and everybody's squirting off and drinking the hydration station and all that stuff. It was amazing to see how high it got Wednesday, how low it got. Thursday, it gets evened out a little bit. But there is a point where, like, I mentioned putting Colton Cowser in a deal to get a real pitcher, and everybody loses their mind the way they lost their mind last year when we talked about Jackson Holliday being in a deal for Skubal. I mean, you got to give to get at some point. And he hit the home run. First thing I think is John Martin's got to go get some money for the Maryland Lottery for the home run riches. And I'm thinking to myself, well, does that mean you keep him, or does that you mean you trade him? You know, and I'm not saying that even for Cowser. I'm saying that for any of these guys, that if they're going to be 10 games under 500 5 weeks from now, or even 5 games under 500 5 weeks from now, you know, the thought that the good young players coming on, that's a good thing in a lot of ways, because like I don't even want to be thinking about signing Adley Rutschman long term or trading Adley Rutschman for anything when the stock's low. You know what I mean? Like, one of the reasons the Stowers thing worked out last year and the Norby thing worked out, A, they were healthy, they were upright to make a bad deal, as we could talk about with the Rogers deal. But there is a point where, like, getting these guys at bats and getting them going, and I mean, Cowser was hitting one the other day. Like, that's not why I want to trade him. I want to trade him because he's on fire and he's still going to strike out 200 times a year on his best day. Doesn't mean I want to trade him, but I want not everybody to look like a failed prospect in the organization, which is exactly what it looked like about 3 weeks ago. It looked like Ryan O'Hearn was the only prospect to graduate, and he wasn't even ours. He's a Kansas City prospect. So I keep thinking about trade value, even Charlie Morton going out and looking serviceable. I know you don't want to give the farm away. And you were a guy the other day, like, and other people said, hey, Eflin, he might be the guy you got to give a couple years. You got to have somebody pitching next year, no matter how this year turns out. And his name can't be Grayson Rodriguez or Bradish or guys who don't even have arms right now, or Suarez. But I keep thinking about the value of all of these players. And when they go out and hit home runs and play well, I don't know that that means they're here forever, but I do know that that makes them more attractive. That if you're trying to get somebody else's real pitching, which they really should be thinking about doing, because I saw how they bought it in the offseason. You didn't like it. I didn't like it. I think we're both of the mindset that Elias is going to survive this. I think he is. I don't know.
I
Maybe
don't know.
if they're 18 under at the end of the year, maybe he doesn't. But it feels to me like Elias is still going to be running the show. And if that's the case, holistically, you better be thinking about pitching somehow, some way. And Colton Cowell's written 3-run home runs. A long version of me saying they better
You
have
want to trade
something to
Colton
trade
Cowser?
for. I don't want to trade Colton Cowser.
I
You want to
know.
trade Cobie Mayo. Somebody else wants to trade Kerstedt. Can't trade Kerstedt for a
No,
bag of beans right now, right? Like,
and quite frankly, I want them to sign pitchers. I mean, because
for two or
well,
$3 million or $30 million
no,
dollars or
no,
what, like,
for
in what way?
the middle class. Sir, I've talked about this for 3 or 4 years. I mean, the Nathan Eovaldi kind of deals that they have not done any of those. No, I don't want them to go out and spend $300 million on a pitcher, but that doesn't mean you limit yourself to 1 year, $13 million deals, which is all they've done on the pitching front. So my thing with looking at it through the lens of Cowser, someone who is at least semi-established as a major league player at this point in time, right? He's not Heston Kerstad. He's actually had success in the major leagues. He's not Cobie Mayo. He's had success in the major leagues because, okay, and you can do that. And look, this isn't about me saying Colton Cowser is untouchable, but if you trade Colton Cowser, what's your outfield moving forward?
Well, then you'd have to believe in Kerstedt, right? I mean, you know what I mean? You'd have
No,
to believe in
I
somebody
don't.
else, right?
That sounds like a way more foolish proposition at this point
A
than,
100%. I
right?
don't
So,
disagree with that.
that's where I'm coming from with that. All of that said, I think I have two guys right now. I mean, it'd have to be such an extraordinary blockbuster deal that I couldn't even visualize. Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday
They're
are the
not going
two.
anywhere. I
Right,
agree with that. They're
exactly.
not going.
So,
And if
but
they're
that
going
said,
anywhere, they better be going onto a $240 million ledger, because that's what or maybe more. Yeah, I don't know. But like, that's the part of this that is going to bankrupt them. You know what I mean? That's going to be the thing that's going to be like, okay, we got $80 million into two players, or 60, 70, something that is extraordinary by their math, by what, $140 million, whatever their payroll. I don't know. I don't talk to money bags. You have access. They don't ever show up to even ask. They have no front face. We're just sitting here guessing and spitballing and being goofy fans, but we're not goofy fans. You and I are not. We're thinking like they're thinking, and I'm wondering how they're thinking. And I'm thinking, you ain't getting nothing for nothing. You ain't sending Cobie Mayo and Heston Kerstad and a bag of baseballs off to get a real pitcher.
I
And
mean,
to your point, you think it's a money proposition in the offseason for them.
well, it all depends. I mean, these aren't absolutes. All of this has nuance. All of this. All of it is nuance. And, we always think, and I don't mean you. And when I say we, just in a general sense, whether we're talking about media or fans, pundits, someone who fancies themselves as a knowledgeable fan, we tend to look at these as like yes or no propositions. And there's a lot of gray area with a lot of this right
With
now.
pitching, especially in the modern era,
Sure.
talking to Jim Palmer about stuff from 40 years ago when a guy's arms didn't fall off. Look, dude, off season, let's go perfect here. The thing was an ish show. They got their ass kicked in October. Mr. Moneybags is out. They're doing their off season. They sign Burns. Burns decides to come for 4 years, 250. I don't know. Make it up. Whatever. So it starts to bankrupt them. Now they got $40 million into a pitcher. Okay, great. So now what? Do they not do? Do they not sign Sagano? Do they certainly wouldn't have signed Charlie Morton, right?
Right.
So then they have Burns. Then they listen to Luke Jones, because Luke's really smart, and they want that Bueller guy, and they go get the
Well,
Bueller.
that
So
wasn't smart because he's been bad.
they go get the Bueller guy, and they do what everybody else wants them to do: give more money to Nate Snell. So now Moneybags comes in and says, I'm the new Cohen. I'm 180 million deep into this. We haven't even bothered. We aren't worried about Henderson right now, Holiday. I'm money bags. Don't worry. We got this handled. You just get your Birdland memberships in, and you get down here and buy the hot dogs, right? I mean, just come to get your Masson, get Greg Bader out, get the Masson subscription. We're all in. We got Burns. We got Snell. We got Grayson healthy coming back. We've got Eflin for a year, and we're really invested. We don't want anybody on the radio pissed off, not even our own employees, not even Melanie and Rob can say beautiful things about what we did in the offseason, because we signed established pitchers, we spent money, we did everything, and we're still going to spend money on our young players, but they're not ready yet. You know how Scott Boras is, he's a jerk. So now you have Burns, you have Bueller, you have Snell, you have Rodriguez. You have Suarez, I guess. I mean, I'm trying to think of the other bodies, Kramer, the other people that they would have had around here. What would they have? They'd have a big payroll and a bunch of injured pitchers, and they would have had a parade around here, parading those guys around during the Birdland caravan. They probably could have put a fan fest on and signed some autographs. And what would you have? You'd have a lopsided payroll. You'd have a bad team. You'd have money sunk into pitchers that Elias would say this offseason, I spent last year. No presents for you under the tree this year from Santa because we ain't got nothing. So there is a point where I can make that case, right? And that's a very fair case that I laid out, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't fathom a world where they've signed Corbin Burnes and Blake Snell, but your point is well taken. Their pitching staff would be a disaster right now with that. But and that's why I've said I'd like to see them.
Their franchise would be a disaster because they would have Chris Davis on their hands. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like,
I mean,
literally.
those pitchers will be coming back, but yeah, you're looking at it in the meantime, and you're saying, "Wow, what a mess!" I mean, maybe they would have signed Sagan. You know, Sagano was a 1-year deal. Maybe they still would have done that,
How
or
good
maybe not.
Batista was 2 years ago. Look at how good Bradish was 2 years ago. If they were in any sort of peril or option, the Orioles would have lopped on $60, $80 million for either one of those cats to keep them around here long term. If that's where they were in their, in the germination of where the
Why young players
contract
are so
has to come.
valuable. That's why young players are so extraordinarily valuable. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, that's why
You don't deal Colton Cowser, and I get shamed for that.
generally,
I,
well,
yeah, I hear
not
that.
shamed. I mean, I it wasn't
Well, we
them.
want controllable years in the guys we get too. That's the point,
Correct.
right?
Well, but I guess what I was saying to you at the time, and again, I don't want to fixate on Colton Cowser because it's just the one example of a player,
It's just
but
an example of a very
yeah,
good player who
but
may
it's
or may
just,
not be untouchable,
I
who
just
may
think.
stink, who may be a 180 hitter at the
He
brand.
doesn't
You
stink. He
okay?
doesn't stink.
He doesn't stink. Fair enough.
He currently has an over an 800 OPS. Yes, he strikes out too much. Do I think he's going to hit for an incredibly high average? No, but the power is there. The defensive profile, he's a plus defender in the outfielder or
That's
in the
why the
outfield.
Tigers might want him. That's
Sure,
what I'm
but
saying.
that's why I'm saying why the Orioles would want him too, right?
Fair enough.
Anyway, let's stop talking about Colton Cowser.
Well, I just found
But
it
yeah.
fascinating that that was such a hot button, with people the other
Well, I
day
think it's
that like
because,
it's unthinkable, and I'm thinking, well, who are you going to deal? What are you
well,
going
but I
to
think it's because you look at the state of their outfield, right? I mean, because if you trade him, what do you have coming back
You're
next
counting
year?
on Tyler
Tyler
O'Neill.
O'Neill. I mean, Cedric Mullins is a free agent. Laureano is a free agent. They're not guys you want to invest in long term, really, at their age anyway. I mean, they're more guys that are they're complementary pieces, not like someone that you anchor.
Well, Tyler O'Neill's going to be
He's
the
going to be
poster
there.
boy for why not to go shopping when the red light's on after 2 a.m.
But
You
also,
know?
ho hopefully, also the poster boy of when it's a 3-year deal, 1 year will be a dud. That doesn't mean the other 3 years or the other 2 years will be a dud. So they're going to have to hope for that, right? I mean, I'm not giving up on the idea that Tyler O'Neill can be productive for them at some point. If you had asked me, would I have done it knowing what happened in year one? Of course not. But you can't do that. So you have to pivot. You have to proceed from this point in time. That's why I've said with Mike Elias is. You know, I've never thought that he's definitely gone. At the same time, I'm not going to sit here with 100% conviction and say that he's absolutely going to be back. We have to see how the rest of this year plays out. I want to see what the draft looks like. I want to see what the trade deadline looks like. We've talked about it. They are most likely going to be in some kind of a hybrid state of selling off some expiring deals with an opportunity to buy some pitching, or maybe it's not even pitching. Maybe it's just a player you really like that you really covet that you think has some hidden value that you can untap. I don't know, right? I mean, maybe they add another outfielder in that way. I don't know. But the point is, you've got to see what they do here because this team's obviously in a very critical spot, regardless of what happens on the field over the next month. But the trade deadline is going to be an opportunity one way or the other, right? Either they make the kind of hay that they're back within a game or two of 500, or maybe even a little better than that by the trade deadline. And you say, hey, the American League's wide open behind the Tigers. We're not going to throw in the towel here because look at how we've played since the 3rd week of May, right? That's the argument you make there. You're not going to do anything foolish, but you can make some moves. On the flip side, if you are still somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, 9, 8 games under 500, or maybe you backslide and you're even worse. And then it's a complete, Fait accompli. Oh, we're definitely going to be sellers
I'd
here.
like to think they're going to
But
play better if they stay healthy.
you hope so.
But I would like to
And
think
they
that
have.
every night,
They
if
have. I
Holiday,
mean,
Henderson, Rutschman, if these guys are in the lineup, Westberg, who's my favorite, Kowser, who's not my least favorite, by the way,
I gotcha.
of all these players, that there's more of the good Kowser than the bad Kowser. There's more of O'Hearn doing what he was doing, Mullins being healthy. I mean, they are. Dude, we thought they were a 91-win team a month ago. Like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, as comprised, we thought this could be good. And if they're getting 5 innings out of Charlie Morton every fifth day, and
But
Bradish
let me.
really is maybe coming back, and they really could put together a deal to get another pitcher to put into this thing that would, an Eflin, somebody that would bolster them the rest of the way to give them hope every fifth day to be a real pitcher and be on the team next year,
Yeah.
and they sink money into it. But look, you and I have seen enough of Ortiz for Burns, Stowers and Norby for Roger, all of this sort of quad A motioning back and forth to say, what do we project our prospects to be? And the guys that are here are the guys that Elias liked the best, right? I mean, that's it. Like, he's got to hand pick his favorites. And the ones that he wanted to get here and the ones that had graduated, Mayo, Kerstad, for better or worse, whether they failed or not. Holiday failed last year. He's back. He's fine now. But getting all of these guys on track, that's always been at the bottom of your mantra and the top of everything you always say is, they got all these ones and first round draft picks, and they're all hitters. None of them are pitchers, and they all need to hit. And if we
Yeah.
get to swap one of them out, whether it's Kowser, Kersey, whoever it is, to get another Eflin, to get another pitcher, to get another guy that somebody else is trying to get rid of because they're no good and they want to get rid of their money, the way they got rid of Devers 2 weeks ago in Boston, I there's a lot of players and a lot of money out there. And to your point, the Orioles don't have a lot of dead. We're sitting here crying our hearts out about Tyler O'Neill. Hey, man, Diamondbacks are on the hook for
It's
$200 million with a guy who
yeah.
might not be able to pitch.
Well, and that's why, look. For that to be their biggest move in the offseason, yeah, that's where I'll criticize the Tyler O'Neill deal. Were there other ways that you could have gone about addressing replacing Anthony Santander, who, by the way, has not? There's another one. You could have added re-signing Santander
That's a
to that
mistake.
list. And not necessarily a mistake, but at least a year one not working out, not giving you a return, right? I mean, you never know. I mean, like I said, if Tyler O'Neill's great the next 2 years, you'll even look at this year and say, well, it really stunk in 25, but he was good the last 2 years. Or it'll be a complete wash. Who knows, right? I mean, I'm just speaking in hypotheticals, but it's funny. I pulled this up because it's also it goes in line with what you were just saying about this team with all their young guys. Now that, whether it's a good Kowser or a bad version of Kowser, it's Kowser on the field, right? Whether it's good Westberg or bad Westberg at times. It's Westberg on the field. I mean, those guys weren't even on the field for most, Kowser at all the
Let
first
him
2 months.
be whatever 240, 250, 260 hitter
Yeah,
they're going to be,
sure.
but let him be that, right?
But like, they can't
Or
develop if
let
they're
them
not on the
fail
field.
if they're Kerstedt or Mayo, and just let them quack out, right?
And
Yeah.
that's, that's where I kind of am with Mayo at this point. Like, play him. He played one game in the 4-game series. Look, I'm not saying he has to play 7 days a week, but at the same time, I'd like to
Give him
see
a
him,
chance to fail.
right? Well, and part of that was also I thought last Saturday and Sunday was maybe the best 2 games he'd put together as far as his at bats. He had a multi-hit game. He had an RBI double. Anyway, but it's funny as we're kind of thinking about this through the lens of the trade deadline. You know who is emerging? Who I don't know if I'd say their best trade chip, but is really starting to look like he could be a trade chip for them. You know, Charlie Morton over his last 36 and two-thirds innings, this is going back to late April. So even before the club started playing
He really
better,
stunk the first five
he
starts.
was
Yeah.
horrible the first 6 games. He had a 10-plus ERA. Since then, in 36 and two-thirds innings, it's 10 games. Now, there were a couple relief appearances in there mixed in, so I'll fully acknowledge that. He's got a 3.19 ERA. He's averaging well over a strikeout per inning. I mean, he's pitched quite well for going on close to 2 months now. Now, that's not to forgive the first month. The first month was such a disaster, and that was a pretty significant part in the way this team started. I mean, they literally lost all six of his first starts, right? You know, his first six starts, they lost every single one. Right there, even if you flip a few of those games and say, okay, go 3-3, this team's a few games closer to 500 right now. Like, even just that, throwing everything else out the window, let alone other
Well, the
guys that
first start in
struggled.
Toronto, he gave him a chance to win. The other games, they had their chance to win.
I mean, even that start, he was. I mean, I remember leaving the ballpark and catching back up with you, and I said, man, that could have been even worse. He wasn't good. I mean, he just wasn't. But he's figured it out, and that's not to say that he's going to be this version of Charlie Morton the rest of the year. But you know, you look at the deal a little more differently now from the standpoint of, man, just what happened that first month? Because again, it's one of those situations where even if he was just mediocre the first month, man, you'd be looking at that deal entirely differently. I mean, he's already at a point now where his ERA is, you know, it's knowing where it had
Is
been.
it under six yet?
Yes, he's got a 5.64 ERA now,
Okay.
which, again, I'm not throwing a parade for that, meaning like the whole body of work, but when you know what the ERA was in late April, that's saying that the
Well,
guy's
they
going to
never
be
gave
consistent.
Kyle Gibson a chance to get straightened out to
Yeah,
be,
well, see, but the difference with those two, as I said to you all along, and that's why I think Morton himself was so just baffled by this, was the stuff was still there. I mean, the fastball velo was fine. The movement on his pitches was fine. He just, the curveball, which is his tentpole pitch, I mean, it's what has made him Charlie Morton, the guy that's pitched until age 41 over the second half of his career, because you know, even as recently as a couple years ago, and I would even say over the last month, I mean, that curveball's great. I mean, it is. Once again on Thursday night, another situation where a Rays left-handed hitter swings at a back foot curveball that hits the guy. You know, it hit him in the foot, and he swung at it. That speaks to the movement that that pitch has. So, is he going to continue that? I hope he continues it at least to the point where, if we're going to talk in more realistic terms, that the Orioles are more seller than buyer come a month from now. I think Charlie Morton, let's be clear, I'm not going to get a top 20 prospect or anything crazy, but you might be able to move him, right? And you might actually get something that maybe helps you at some point in time. Or if they play better baseball over the next 5 weeks and they're in position to, at the very least, go for it, you know, that they're not giving up on being a wild card, then Charlie Morton might be a big factor into that. Who knows? But he is a perfect example of everything we're talking about with how bad it's been, and even ranting about how awful Wednesday night was. It is a long season. It really is. And that's where so much of this, whether we're talking about decisions at the top, like is Mike Elias going to continue to be the general manager, all the way down to, you know, what's going to happen with your bench players or the back guys on your roster or guys on your 40-man roster. What's going to happen with the coaching staff? You know, do I think Mancini is going to get the job permanently? No, but if they make the playoffs, I think you're going to look at him differently than you did when he replaced Brandon Hyde and looked so far in over his head the first few days when he was talking to the media. So it's a long season, and so much of this is just letting this play out. But you made mention of it, and I've said this over and over. At the end of the year, I care way more about all of their young core players, as many of them as possible, with the arrow pointing up again. I care about that much more than what they're
because they're
doing
not
long.
winning the World Series,
Right.
right?
And right. I mean, that's how I kind of, and look, if they make the playoffs, great. And maybe this would be the year they make the playoffs and they actually make it to the ALCS as an underdog. That
And
would be
maybe
fun,
by
but
August 15th, Grayson Rodriguez is six strong and Bradish is back in
those
and
guys
Morton is still here and
could be back
Kowser's
by
the
then.
player you think he can be and Westberg's the player I think he can be and Rutschman has become the player everyone believed him to be and Henderson is straight
Looking
up
like an MVP
and
again.
you know what I mean? mean,
And maybe
like,
Kobe Mayo looks like is on his
all
way
of
to
these
looking like a
guys
player.
on their best days, Mike Elias has gotten up every day as a genius, just ask him, and believed in all of these guys and what their potential is and what their ceiling is. And you know who else has believed in it? Everybody with an orange bird head on and everybody in the Birdland Club, because that's what Melanie's told him and Rob's told him and Brett's told him and Palmer's told him and just on and on. All of these guys are going to be at least as good as BJ Surhoff, if not Nick Markakis, and they're all going to, and none of them are going to be Matt Wieters, and none of them are going to really disappoint you. They're all going to play to their number, whatever their number is.
I would
In
take
Henderson,
Adley.
that's the Hall of Fame. In Holiday, that's the Hall of Fame. With Rutschman, that's the Hall of Very Good. With Colton Cowser, it's the Hall of Gary Renicky and John Lowenstein, right? So, like, I thinking these guys are going to be a core Adam Jones. If any of these guys are as good as Adam Jones, that's pretty good.
You do
You know,
cartwheels.
what's that?
You do cartwheels. I mean, Adam Jones is a was a heck of a baseball player for a long time. I
Any of
mean,
these guys stick around 6 years and you got to pay them real money or whatever, but you
that's a
think
good problem.
all of them are going to stick around like they did for the
I mean,
Cubs for a minute? Not you. I'm
oh,
just saying,
yeah.
if you're Elias, you believe that you have pile divers. You believed this all along from the minute you drafted them, from the minute you fell in love with Colton Cowser down in Texas, from the minute you drafted Grayson Rutt. You believe in all of these guys. There still is a point in June as they go to Yankee Stadium where most of these guys are breathing in the lineup, much more so than Corbin Burnes, right? Batista's back. Bradish is on the pace. Rodriguez is wherever he's going to be. And then, you know, all the rest of these guys are in the Rutschman's playing. Henderson's playing.
Yeah.
Holiday's blossoming. Westberg's back. Cowser's there. Mayo's in the lineup and healthy. So there is a point where you say we can go win two out of three in Yankee Stadium, win two out of three and two out of three, and then beat a bad team. And we look up, we're 8 over .500 again, which will put us 2 under .500. And it's the All-Star break. Go home, take a break. We'll come back, and we're not going to deal Charlie Morton away. We're going to like figure this out. Or if, you know, I mean, we're going to figure this out. And I don't know. That's me being optimistic after ripping into their ass on Wednesday. But that's the stupidity of being optimistic about it, because I don't. The body of work here is not great. It
No,
isn't.
it's not. I mean, they're still 10 games under 500, right? I mean, you keep stepping back and you look, and that's where it is frustrating when you lose you drop a game like you did Wednesday night, where, I mean, those are the games that are so critical, right? I mean, they can't afford to drop games they should win, right? They need to be winning games that you'd say, man, they stole that one. They had no business winning that one. They need to get some of those along the way, not be doing that. So again, it's still such a long road to even talk about that scenario. But in the meantime, you like the fact that young guys are back and healthy, and you know, Grayson Rodriguez, you know, starting to throw bullpens this week. Kyle Bradish is on track to be back sometime, you know, mid-August, late August. I don't know. You know, and Grayson Rodriguez at this point, even if all goes well with him, you're talking all probably early August. I mean, he's got to have a full ramp up, a full minor league rehab assignment, you know, all that, because you still need, there's nothing about this season right now as it's constructed that says you're going to take any unnecessary risk with those
Not
guys,
rushing
right?
any of these guys
Yeah,
back.
exactly. Because first of all, what's is there enough of an upside play that it's even going to work? And more importantly, you don't want any setbacks, right? Don't get me wrong, I'm
Oh,
not
Bradish
saying,
has already had that.
well, I mean, not he's had a no setbacks from Tommy John recovery
No,
though.
I'm saying he's already been up and down once.
Oh, sure, no
He thought he
question.
was back and he wasn't, and that
Well,
wasn't right.
and that's honestly, that's how it goes a lot of times. I mean, right? I mean, you try to rehab a UCL injury. It does work sometimes.
But
It but
theoretically,
most
you're
times it
always
doesn't.
rushing the guy a little bit,
Yeah. Well,
especially when the season's on. You don't rush
and
guys
look.
in October, but once you get into May, like they were last year, they're like, hey, dude, you know, we're going to pitch this year. Let's go pitch. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Well,
So
and what's crazy about it, go look at his numbers. He
he was
pitched
unbelievable.
really well. You know, and part of it was his, you know, his he's I think he threw the yeah, it was against the Phillies when he got hurt, and then they shut him down for good and he had Tommy John surgery. He threw the fastest pitch of his career that night. Now, you're hoping with the Tommy John surgery rehab that's now gone on, we're about a year right now. This
The
is
reason
around
you
the
rush
time.
back's to make money too.
Well, sure. I
I
mean,
mean, they all
and he wants a pitch. Well, he also wants to pitch, and he was on 100. He was the ace for a 101 win team the year before, and he wanted to pitch. I mean, I'm never gonna begrudge someone for trying to do that, right? I
I'm just
mean,
saying the second time around, they might be a little
oh,
slower
no
with it.
doubt.
He might
Well,
want to be a little slower with it. That's
no
all.
question. And I would say this, whether they're in it in August still or they've sold off everything, I am looking at it through the lens with him of if he is ready to truly ready to pitch and he's checked every box, then yeah, I'd love to see him make four starts in September, right? But if there's any question, if there's any hint of, ooh, I don't know if we should push him right now, you don't do it. You
Send him
don't
to the
do it.
Arizona
Yeah.
Fall League.
Yeah, or you know, whatever, you send them to Sarasota. I mean, you know, it's funny they haven't had their guys rehabbing in Sarasota because they're building a, you know, new performance center down there. That's why everyone's been rehabbing with them, you know, until they're ready to go out on a rehab assignment. So it's kind of been unique in that way. But you know, with Bradish, I mean, whatever he's going to look like at the end of the year, I mean, it's all for me. That's all about getting him to a point where he's all systems go next
That's
year,
just
right?
organizational depth at this point. That's just a guy you
For
talk about, not a guy you think about.
2025, but I don't think that way about 2026. I
Oh,
think
you
about,
think he's in the rotation?
yeah, I mean,
Okay.
why wouldn't you? But you've got to handle it the right way, right? You've got to trust the full process of a Tommy John rehab. You know,
See,
Tommy
so
John.
that's one thing about I want to stop you for a minute because right now I haven't thought about their rotation next year as Rodriguez and Bradish are just in it. Now, maybe they think that way, but I haven't thought out loud. Maybe just hearing you for a minute makes me think like, oh, you really believe that. So you believe their rotation next year with or without Eflin, with or without Suarez, I'm just throwing other Kramer, the other guys, you believe they're already fortified in their minds, thinking we got two more major league arms in Rodriguez and Bradish who will be a part of March next year. That, you know, Mr. Rubenstein, these guys are going to be okay in their major league pitchers. They're better than Charlie Morton on their best day, right? So, and we don't have to pay them, they're here. That's a different way of thinking about it. And that's the way we thought about it last Christmas,
Yeah.
right? A little bit. And I don't know. I don't,
I think for
I'm not a
me,
believer in Rodriguez and Bradish right now as they're darts to me. They're no longer, I'm not penciling them in. I'm
but you said the same thing about Felix, and look at how he's pitched this year. You know what I mean?
fair
Like,
enough.
so
But
now
I want to be surprised by that, not counting on
let
it.
me. Oh, right. No, and here's the caveat with that. First of all, I need to see Grayson Rodriguez pitch at some point the second half of the season and look like, so you know, because that we're coming up on close to a calendar year since he's pitched, right? I mean, it was late July when he made his last start last year. That's a little bit of a different animal right now because you're talking about someone who's had these issues without reconstructive surgery of anything. So like, is he truly, truly healthy? In Bradish's case now, yeah, I'll hear that there are exceptions like John Means, right? But the return rate for Tommy John surgery is very high at this point in time. I mean, it is. So, am I penciling him in for next year? Sure. That said, I am not thinking about that in a way of, oh, we don't need an ace. Kyle Bradish is back, right? You're thinking about it in terms of, I have a high confidence level that he is going to be one of my five. And if he is right, I think he can be one of my top two or three. But that doesn't mean that I don't need to address my rotation in ways more meaningful than Jordan Lyles, Kyle Gibson, Charlie Morton, even Sagano, right? Because we didn't know what Sagano was. And Sagano still doesn't profile as an ace in terms of stuff and the guy that's going to go out and give you eight innings and strike out 10 guys and not be dependent on good batted ball luck and all that. And I don't say that to be disparaging of him, but he's much more of a guy that, all things being equal, you'd love him to be like a mid rotation guy for you if you had a truly good starting rotation or back half, let's say. But I think it's okay to look at Bradish through that lens, right? But hey, we're still speaking in terms of he's got to get back and he's got to show that he's healthy. He's got to show that his arm is right. He's got to show that he's got command and all of that. So, you know, I think it's okay to think in those terms, but no, you cannot fall into the trap of what happened this past offseason when, you know, they were counting on Grayson Rodriguez to kind of be that tentpole guy for them. And not only could he not answer the bell in terms of performance, he hasn't even been able to make a start. And I don't say that to beat him up. I'm empathetic of any of these pitchers who start having arm problems, but that's why you need depth. That's why this organization as a whole needs to start committing more resources to pitching, not just at the major league level, mind you. I'm talking in terms of also how they draft and develop. I'm fine if you're not going to draft pitchers in the first round, but if you're waiting to the fifth, the sixth, the seventh to take a pitcher for the first time in a draft, man, I mean, you're going to have to get really, really lucky to develop arms in your system then. So they've got to find a middle ground. And this is part of where I've talked about it, bringing it back to Mike Elias, the need to recalibrate, right? You've got to figure out, not that, I'm not discrediting everything he did from the fall of 2018 until the end of June last year when they were coming off of winning the division and having the best record in the AL and looking like they might be the best team in the AL again, and everything has kind of fallen apart since then. I'm not going to judge him solely on what's happened since late June, but when you're talking about a calendar year's worth of time where things have gone in the wrong direction in a lot of ways, you've got to recalibrate, right? You've got to make adjustments. You got to look at some of your process and say, oh, that's something we need to look at. That's something we need to change. That's something we need to throw out because that's not working for us. But it also speaks to you also had a lot of injuries, and it brings it back to the position core. You're at a point now where just let these guys play, right? I mean, go and see how it plays out. And yeah, they played a lot better over the last month. Is it going to be enough? Probably not. But in the meantime, you're evaluating, you're seeing what these guys look like, you're seeing how the trade market is going to develop. And they're in a unique spot as buyers and sellers potentially. But I think you still need to look at it through the, for me, it's still the most pertinent, the most critical element is still getting those young guys all pointed in the right direction. Are you going to get all of them pointed in the right direction? Probably not. I mean, Heston Kjerstad might be a lost cause at this point. I'm not ready to give up on him, but he's back in Norfolk and deserved to be back in Norfolk the way he had played the last 2 months. But if you can get as many of these guys pointed in the right direction, man, the offseason feels a lot different. Next year feels a lot different if you get at least a good number of these guys back on track and looking like the kind of players that we thought they were going to be. Then 26 feels a lot more optimistic than 25 feels at the moment, and trying to figure out what this is all going to look like moving forward.
Luke Jones will be monitoring baseball all weekend. We did a little turn with the Ravens. If you want to go hear about Jair Alexander or DeAndre Hopkins, Luke was in Owings Mills all week. I was at the Y earlier this week. Why? Why not? I was in Randallstown. They had the pool. Why not? Why not have my swim trunks next time I go? The Maryland Lottery has me out on the road doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be at Reader's Crab House in Reisterstown on Thursday the 26th. Lots and lots of dates ahead. We'll have the Back to the Future scratch-offs to give away. Our friends at Curio Wellness now open in Pikesville, as well as Timonium and Elkton with Farr and Dotter, and our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions getting us out on the road doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, getting ready for the 4th of July. Luke and I will be monitoring baseball. Orioles back home next week. Texas Rangers, and also, we got games happening here, and the heat will be on down at Camden Yards. It's gonna be 100 degrees in the middle of next week, so make sure you get the air conditions working out there, and have a cool weekend. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Oriole baseball. Baltimore positive.